live as a pauper. You know, if you got a lot of money, you can do whatever you want to with it. But most of the people I know that have a lot of money are very wise with their money. They don't throw it away. They most of, unless it's brand new money. But people who have a lot of money, they know how to keep the money. They know how to let it work for them. So that freedom is something that we're still working for. And mostly because of my mistakes. It wasn't Barbara's. But she has to pay for it. So that can cause a problem in your marriage. Finances cause a lot of problems in relationships. Eighth tradition. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professionals, but our service centers may employ special workers. And they may be well compensated, too. In the long version, it says such special services may be well recompensed. So we hire people. We pay people a lot of money to produce the International. We pay people a lot of money to publish things. When an AA book is written, like Pass It On, Mel Barger, who's still living, was paid $400,000 to write that book. But if he had been given residuals from that book, royalties from the book, he would have been, by now he'd have had $1 million or $2 million. So that was actually a short buyout. But we pay for professional services. We should. You know. Otherwise, we're getting donations from an outside entity. So we should pay. The principle here is doing my job. When do I need help? And again, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a, you know, so we can go through anything you're not, you shouldn't be given, you know, that's an area I should stay away from. The ninth tradition. A, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition here is keep it simple, let go and let God, seek wise counsel. Sandy Beach loves to be wrong. He celebrated being wrong. Because if I am wrong, that explains why this is not working out all that well. If I'm wrong, there's another way for me to approach this so I can get better. I can get better in my finances. I can get better in my personal life. I can get better in my AA life. All those things. But I have to keep it simple. Don't give all these opinions. Let go, let God, seek wise counsel. Ask people what they need. Tenth tradition, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought to be drawn into public controversy. Again, all these things that sometimes come into AA, I don't wear a bumper sticker that has a political person on there. I was my second job AA, my first was pouring coffee at a clubhouse, but after my brain started working, I was at an AA luncheon. I got the job being doing the press and advertising for a guy who ran for mayor in Louisville, and shortly thereafter I was the mayor's press secretary and director of public affairs for the city. So I have been active politically supporting people. But I don't carry any of that into AA. I don't let a newcomer see who I vote for. That's just me. That's not that if I could ruin my opportunity to help somebody. I occasionally do things like this is a Purple Heart. So if a veteran sees this, he knows that I've been there and he might talk to me. But this is not controversial. So anything that is like opinionated, I don't show it. Because it's important to me to be able to be free to help other people. The 11th and 12th steps are very closely put together. And these are two we're having a real trouble with in the fellowship right now, and it can ruin this fellowship. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain the anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. That basically says action speaks louder than hype. What I do says more than what I say. I went into a cell phone store early on when you had to pay for all your phone calls and all that, and they'd give me a brand new cell phone. And it didn't work right, so I'd have to make a call 12 times before it would work right. So I said, you need to give me a new phone, because that's what's causing me to be paid 12 times for the same phone call, because the phone's not working right, and change my bill. Now, I was sponsoring a guy, another Vietnam vet, and his wife didn't want him in the program, you know, because she was his drinking buddy. And she was trying to pull him back out of AA, and he was starting to get into it. So a week or two later, he said, by the way, did you go to a cell phone store recently? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, my wife worked in that store, and she said that you were rude to the woman that you were talking to. She was looking for fault. And actually said, you made that woman cry, which I didn't. But what had happened was, back then I worked on the theory that if you didn't understand the problem when I explained it to you the first time, it's because you were hard of hearing, so I had to say it louder. All I really need to do, if you ever have a problem with something, don't argue with the person. They can't do something about it. Ask for their supervisor. And then ask for their supervisor. Eventually, somebody's going to be able to make a decision. And when I got to the right person, they gave me a new phone and they changed my bill. But the story about that is actions speak louder than hype. My judgment for what I can, cannot do, what I should or should not do, is what if a brand new pigeon, one of the guys I sponsor, was watching me do this? Would it be a good example? And if you use that as a guideline, there's a whole lot of stuff you will change about the way you live, about the way you drive, about the way you talk to people, about the way all of us have, you know, somebody we talk down to. You can talk down to waiters or wait staff or whatever because you're angry. The 12th tradition is similar, but it's more about, this is one of the most misunderstood of all our traditions. It says, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. This is not about hiding our alcoholism or what they're saying now, reducing the stigma for alcoholism. First of all, there's not any stigma. You know, you get more points, you know, in a lot of careers that say, oh, he's an AA member, because everybody accepts it now. Here's the last speech that Bill Wilson ever gave. It's one page. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But here's what he says. This is half of the last thing he said before he died. This is how important this was. If I were asked which of these blessings I felt was most responsible for our growth as a fellowship and most vital to our continuity, I would say the concept of anonymity. Anonymity has two attributes essential to our individual and collective survival, the spiritual and the practical. On the spiritual level, anonymity demands the greatest discipline of which we are capable. We don't get to take credit for anything. We don't get to write a book telling our story and how wonderful we are because we survived all this. We don't get to do anything that builds us up. We don't get to have our name on a building. We don't get to have the Dick Anderson Memorial Fund for alcoholics who, you know, are confused, whatever. We don't get to have any of that stuff where we become a big shot. It takes all of that away and it turns it into humility. On the practical level, anonymity has brought our protection for the newcomer, respect and support of the world outside, and security from those of us who would use AA for sick and selfish purposes. AA must and will continue to change with the passing years. We cannot, nor should we, turn back the clock. However, I deeply believe that the principle of anonymity must remain our primary and enduring safeguard. As long as we accept our sobriety and our traditional spirit of anonymity, we will continue to receive God's grace. The danger of us changing this on Facebook, changing faces of recovery and doing all this stuff, is this program will go away. Because without the humility, this program does not work. And everybody, you can just go online, if somebody's on Facebook and you kindly say, you might want to read their traditions, they'll tell you to go to hell. Especially if they're in California. All the California people have this thing and they'll just tell you to go to hell. That's my opinion. I'm going to mention two other things and I'm done. This is Dr. Bob's farewell talk, the very last one he gave before he died of cancer. It says, let's not louse this program up, it says this program, let's not louse it all up with Freudian complexes and things that are interesting on the scientific mind but have very little to do with our actual AA work. Our 12 steps, when simmered down to the last, resolve themselves into the words love and service. We understand what love is, and we understand what service is. So let's bear those two things in mind. Let's also remember to guard that erring member, the tongue, and if we must use it, let's use it with kindness and consideration and tolerance. What he's talking about there is gossip. Gossip kills more people in AA than I know. One of the guys who helped me got sober, got divorced from his wife, and I was over at their home all the time, and she had as much to do with that divorce as he did, but people chose sides and went with her, and he basically dropped out of the program because he had a bunch of people that decided to judge him. And we do that all the time. We judge people when they come in. We judge people after they've been here for a while. It's not our job to judge anybody, and it's certainly not our job to gossip. If somebody comes up to me and says, now I'm guilty of doing this sometimes, especially not with somebody who's new, but you know, somebody who's been around for a while and I'll be talking about something, and usually it's because I'm angry and I want to build myself up or I want to punish somebody else. No good motive. I have no good motive when I'm doing that. But somebody told me one time the best way, if somebody comes and says, do you hear about so-and-so? They were, you know, they were messing around or they had an affair or da-da-da. And then the person say, really? I didn't realize that they were troubled. Let's pray for them. if the person's really concerned about that person, that's exactly what they'll do. So this was a quick thing, because a lot of times we do this an entire day of studying the traditions and concepts, and I didn't even get to the concepts. I may cover a little bit in the panel, but they're well worth regarding. The steps tell me how to live with myself. The traditions help me to live with other people, and the concepts show me how to conduct business with a spiritual purpose. And if you want to have a life where you're not fighting anybody in anything, you're going to have to get beyond the steps. The steps are the basis for my personal sobriety, but living with other people and living in business are these other two areas. And there's so much fun, and they're so easy to do. They're just like the steps. And you don't want to miss out on them. So if you don't have one, I would suggest you get a group that or a meeting out of a group that studies the traditions and occasionally the concepts, because it'll change the way you do business. It'll change your life. The biggest thing that prevents us from doing any of that is resentment, and the way to get past resentment is forgiveness. Barbara's going to talk about that and some other Al-Anon wisdom, and I will share with you that when I got sober, there was an Al-Anon meeting every night on the other side of the church, and we had family recovery, and there was an Alateen meeting every third night, and because we had family recovery, it was healthy, and the chapters towards the end of the big book, which many people skip over, me hearing an Al-Anon speak is the best way to do two things. It is best for me to accept my responsibility for the harm that I've done, because when I hear an Al-Anon talk, I hear about it. And secondly, Al-Anons are so loving and kind and giving that when I came in, they were kind to me and loving, and I felt forgiven. And the more you can do with family recovery, the better you are. Some places it's very active. Texas, Kentucky. We just spoke last weekend at a convention that had mostly families there. But we get away from it down here, and AAs are married to AAs and that kind of stuff. When you get through all of these things, you end up with a quality of sobriety called emotional sobriety. It's not where you're just not drinking but gritting your teeth and have to get to a meeting. If you have to get to a meeting because you think you're going to take a drink, you're not having a spiritual experience. That's a human experience. But if you're a spiritual being, you go to the meeting because you can find somebody to love. And as you give it away, you get more. You can't outgive the program. So Barbara's going to follow up with forgiveness, and after that, Michael's going to share on emotional sobriety. And so for a one-day trip through AA, short as it is, this, if we do anything, is to provoke you to think more about this than just going to a meetings and not taking a drink. Because the AA promises so many things. It's saved my life from cancer. It's given me a marriage that's lasted 31 years. It's taken us around the world. It's given us many things that we never thought we'd have, that I never thought I would have. And it's a result of just surrendering and doing what God asks. And we don't do it all the time, but we do it better than we used to. Thanks.